Greetings, knowledge seekers, and welcome to the 11th episode of the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast in 2024. In this intellectual odyssey, we're diving into a sea of questions that will test your wits and illuminate the corridors of your mind. Whether you're a quiz aficionado or a casual listener, preparing for an exhilarating journey through the realms of knowledge. As always, the rules remain steadfast. 20 questions, escalating in complexity, with a mere 10 seconds to decipher each enigma. The challenge is on, and your mental prowess is the compass guiding you through. To our dedicated audience and those tuning in for the first time, thank you for making this podcast a part of your quest for wisdom. We're not just asking questions, we're building a community of curious minds. Share your thoughts, quiz ideas, or just say hello on X at 20 Questions Quiz or via email 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. Are you ready for another round then of mental gymnastics? Here we go for the 11th time in 2024. How far will you go? Let's see if you can defeat 20 questions. So then, 20 general knowledge questions. To win the game, 20 right in a row. How far will you go? We start very, very easy as always. So settle back, settle in, and let me begin with question number one. In the nursery rhyme, Old Who Had a Farm? In the nursery rhyme, Old Who Had a Farm?
Five, four, three, two, one.
And I bet everyone listening to this was singing it as well. Go on, we might as well all do it together. In the nursery rhyme, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. E-I-E-I-O. Question number two. Which food is traditionally made by bees? Which food is traditionally made by bees?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Something I've been enjoying for breakfast in recent time. Bees are known for producing honey, a sweet and sticky substance that is a traditional food made by these industrious insects. Honey is created by bees from the nectar of flowers. The bees collect the nectar, bring it to the hive, and then process it by regurgitating and storing it in honeycombs. The enzymes in the bee's saliva help break down the nectar into honey, which is then sealed into the comb and used as a food source for the hive. Humans have been harvesting honey for beehives for centuries for culinary and medicinal purposes. From honey to colours, and question number three. What colour do you get if you mix red and white? What colour do you get if you mix red and white?
Five, four, three, two, one.
When you mix red and white, you get various shades of pink. The more white you add to the red, the lighter the shade of pink will be. Mixing red and white in different proportions allows you to achieve a various range of pink tones, from pale pink to deeper shades, depending on the desired color intensity. Question number four. What type of structure do beavers build? What type of structure do beavers build?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Beavers are known for building structures called dams. Dams are barriers constructed across rivers or streams using a combination of mud, sticks, twigs, and other natural materials. Beavers use their strong teeth to fell trees and gather materials, and they use mud to cement the materials together. Dams serve various purposes for beavers, including creating a pond or impoundment for easier access to food, providing protection from predators, and creating a suitable environment for raising their young. The construction of beaver dams has significant ecological impacts on the surrounding landscape. Question number 5. Big Bird, Elmo, Bert and Ernie are classic characters in which iconic children's television show? Big Bird, Elmo, Bert and Ernie are classic characters in which iconic children's TV show?
Five, four, three, two, one.
One of the soundtrack of my youth. This was especially as a 18-month-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. My mother always put on Sesame Street, even here in the UK. Big Bert, Elmo, Bert and Ernie are classic characters of the iconic children's TV show Sesame Street, and long let it continue as well. It is a beloved educational program that has been entertaining and educating children since its debut in 1969. The show uses a mix of live action, puppetry and animation to teach various concepts such as letters, numbers and social skills in a fun and engaging way. Big Bird, Elmo, Bert and Ernie and many other characters have become well-known and cherished figures in the world of children's television through their appearances on Sesame Street, and long may it continue. Question number 6. How many cards is each player dealt in a standard game of Texas Hold'em poker? How many cards is each player dealt in a standard game of Texas Hold'em poker?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A game with which I have lost many, many a fortune on. In a standard game of Texas Hold'em poker, each player is dealt 2 private cards, known as hole cards or pocket cards. These 2 cards are dealt face down to each player at the beginning of the hand. After the initial betting round, 5 community cards are dealt face up in the center of the table, and players use a combination of their hole cards and the community cards to make the best 5 card hand possible. Question number 7. What was Roger Moore's last film as James Bond? What was Roger Moore's last film as James Bond?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, if you were with us on last week's show, you would have seen us talk about, or heard us, I should say, talk about a stunt that happened in Live and Let Die. And that stunt is still up on our social media channel on X, if you want to see it. One of the best stunts, I think, in the history of film. You've got to see it to believe it. But Roger Moore's last film as James Bond was A View to a Kill, released in 1985. In this film, Moore portrayed the iconic British secret agent James Bond for the 7th and last time. A View to a Kill featured Bond investigating a plot involving microchips, horse racing, and the villain Max Zoring, played by Christopher Walken. After this film, Timothy Dalton took on the role as James Bond in the subsequent movies. Question number 8. The Little Mermaid statue is a feature of which European city? The Little Mermaid statue is a feature of which European city?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Little Mermaid statue is a famous landmark in Copenhagen, Denmark. The statue, which depicts the character of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Little Mermaid, has become a symbol of Copenhagen and a popular tourist attraction. The statue was unveiled in 1913 and has since become one of the most recognised and visited statues in all the world. Moving on to question number 9. Now, there's a picture of this city on our social media account on X at 20 Questions Quiz that may help you a little bit to get the answer to this question. What is the capital city of Oman? What is the capital city of Oman?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Muscat is the capital and largest city in the Sultanate of Oman, situated on the Arabian Sea along the Gulf of Oman. It serves as the political, economic and cultural hub of the country. Muscat is known for its stunning architecture, blending modern structures and traditional Arabian influences. To question number 10. Which fictional land located in sub-Saharan Africa is home to the superhero Black Panther? Which fictional land located in sub-Saharan Africa is home to the superhero Black Panther?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The fictional land located in sub-Saharan Africa that is home to the superhero Black Panther is Wakanda. Wakanda is a technologically advanced and highly secretive African nation in the Marvel Comics universe. It is known for being the only source of vibranium, a rare and powerful metal. Black Panther, whose real name is Chila, is the hereditary monarch and protector of Wakanda. The character of Black Panther has been featured in various Marvel comics as well as in films within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Ten down, ten to go. Questions to come on this edition of 20 Questions on lakes, food, US states, vegetarians, assassinations, and historical figures. But first, motor racing. Question 11 of 20 is this. In which country would you find the Interlagos Racing Circuit? In which country would you find the Interlagos Racing Circuit?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The Interlagos Racing Circuit, officially known as the Autódromo José Carlos Pache, is located in São Paulo, Brazil. Interlagos is a well-known motorsport circuit and has been a venue for Formula One races for many years. It has a rich history and is named after Brazilian Formula One driver José Carlos Pache. The circuit is part of the São Paulo cityscape and has hosted numerous memorable races in the world of motorsports. Question 12. How is cauliflower known on an Indian menu? How is cauliflower known on an Indian menu?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In Indian cuisine, cauliflower is often known as gobi. It is a versatile vegetable that is used in various dishes such as gobi manchurian, aloo gobi and gobi masala. The term gobi specifically refers to cauliflower in Hindi and is commonly used across India to describe and prepare dishes featuring this vegetable. From India to the US, question 13. Lake Tahoe straddles the border between California and which other US state? Lake Tahoe straddles the border between California and which other US state?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Well, you only had two or three to choose from here, if you know your US geography. Lake Tahoe straddles the border between California and the state of Nevada in the US. The lake is known for its stunning natural beauty, clear waters, and surrounding mountainous landscape. The California-Nevada border runs through the middle of the lake, and both states share a shoreline of this popular tourist destination. Question 14. In 1476, which English merchant and writer is thought to be the first person to introduce a printing press into England? In 1476, which English merchant and writer is thought to be the first person to introduce a printing press into England?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In 1476, William Caxton, an English merchant, diplomat and writer, is thought to be the first person to introduce a printing press into England. Caxton set up the printing press at Westminster and is credited with printing the first book in English titled The Recueil of the History of Troy around 1473 to 1474. This marked the beginning of the printing press's influence on English literature and the dissemination of knowledge in England. Question 15. I did like this question. This one is going to test your speed more than anything else. You've got a 50 to 1 shot getting this one right if you don't know. Question 15 is this. Which US state is the only state that can be typed using one row of a keyboard? Which US state is the only state that can be typed using one row of a keyboard?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, how quick have you got this in 10 seconds? If you're listening to this on a laptop, you may have had a slight advantage. If you're listening to it on your phone, maybe not. You've got to use the middle row. The only US state that can be typed using one row of a keyboard is Alaska. All the letters in the name Alaska can be found on the home row of a standard QWERTY keyboard. I'm betting many of you fell on that one. Clever question. I did like that one. Five to go. Final five time. If you're still standing after 15 questions, these are the five you need to get right to defeat 20 questions. They are on the Football World Cup, vegetarians, athletics, assassinations, and historical figures. They are the five that remain on this edition of 20 questions. Question 16 of 20 is on the Football World Cup, and it's this. Which city hosted the men's 2022 FIFA World Cup final between Argentina and France? Which city hosted the men's 2022 FIFA World Cup final between Argentina and France?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, majority of you would have got the country, which was Qatar. So it was a city in Qatar, and I bet a lot of you went for Doha here. It's not Doha. It's on the outskirts of Doha. It's a city in its own right, and it's called Lusail. Lusail is a city that's been built within the last 30 years in Qatar, and it hosts a number of sporting events. Also, the largest stadium in the country of Qatar. And it hosted that amazing World Cup final between Argentina and France that went to penalties. What a game of football that was. That took place in Lusail, Qatar. Question 17. Which country has the highest percentage of vegetarians? Which country has the highest percentage of vegetarians?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now again, I was amazed to read this one. I was talking about the highest percentage of vegetarians. So you could think it could be Vatican City, the amount of people that are there. It's not. It's one of the biggest countries in the world, in fact. It's India. India has the highest percentage of vegetarians in the world. Apparently, it's around 37% of the whole population of India follows a vegetarian diet. Influenced by cultural, religious, and philosophical factors, Hinduism, Jainism, and some sects of Buddhism advocate for vegetarianism, contributing to the widespread adoption of plant-based diets in the country. While the exact percentage may vary, it is generally recognized that a substantial portion of the Indian population adheres to vegetarianism, we think roughly around 37%. For a country of 1 billion people, that's a lot of vegetarians. Three to go on this edition of 20 Questions. Question 18 of 20 deals with athletics. Which athlete's personal best of 2 metres, 45 centimetres, makes him the only person ever to have cleared 8 feet in the men's high jump? Which athlete's personal best of 2 metres, 45 centimetres, makes him the only person ever to have cleared 8 feet in the men's high jump?
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's a record that has been standing for 31 years in the men's high jump. 8 feet, of course, is 2 meters 44. Cleared by 1 centimeter more was Javier Sotomayor. Holds the men's high jump world record with a personal best clearance of 2.45, achieved in July 1993 in Salamanca in Spain. Sotomayor's mark of 2.45 remains the highest officially recorded jump in the history of the men's high jump. Two to go. Question 19 of 20 deals with assassinations. The penultimate question on this edition of 20 Questions is this. Who was UK Prime Minister at the time of the assassination of John F. Kennedy? Who was UK Prime Minister at the time of the assassination of John F. Kennedy?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, if you've been watching The Crown recently, or over the last couple of years, you may think you've got this via that, but you would be wrong. Many of you would have thought it was Harold Macmillan, some of you would have thought it was Harold Wilson. It was the one in between them. At the time of the assassination of John F. Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom was Sir Alec Douglas Hume. He served as Prime Minister for 1 year, October 19th, 1963, to October 16th, 1964. He was in office for just over a month when Kennedy was assassinated. He succeeded Harold Macmillan and was followed by Harold Wilson. One left. The final question on this edition of 20 Questions deals with historical figures, and it's this. Which historical figure's name translates as Oceanic Ruler? Which historical figure's name translates as Oceanic Ruler?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Final question on this edition of 20 Questions was, which historical figure's name translates as Oceanic Ruler? Did you get this one right? Who could it have been in history whose name actually means Oceanic Ruler? The name that translates to Oceanic Ruler or Universal Ruler in Mongolian is Genghis Khan. Genghis is believed to mean anointed or great, and Khan is a title indicating leadership or ruler. Genghis Khan's original name was Temujin, and he became the founder and leader of the Mongol Empire, one of the largest empires in history. Genghis Khan played a pivotal role in uniting the Mongol tribes and leading them to conquer vast territories in Asia and Europe during the 13th century. His military strategies, organizational skills, and leadership abilities contributed to the success and expansion of the Mongol Empire. The title Genghis Khan was posthumously bestowed upon him, and he is often regarded as one of the most influential and successful military leaders in history. So there you have it. That concludes this edition of 20 Questions. Are you ruling the roost today? Are you on top of the quizzing world? Let me know on X. Our 20 Questions quiz. Love to hear from you wherever you may be in the world. I know so many of you are getting in touch with me now as this podcast continues to grow worldwide. in over 80 countries, downloaded in 70 countries alone this year, in fact. Thank you for spreading the word on the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast. Let us know how far you go. Test your friends. Test your family. Do not forget to subscribe. And let's continue to make 20 Questions one of the toughest quiz challenges there is. From me, Johnny Bryan, thank you so much for your company. Till next time, see you soon. Bye for now.